There's nothing like snook hook sets at dawn or catching a tarpon in the moonlight. Find your next fishing trip made easy on fishingbooker.com and experience the magic of the Sunshine State or any other destination on your fishing bucket list. Book a blue water adventure in search of sailfish or go snapper fishing with the kids. With over 6,000 captains and trips to choose from, planning your next one just got a whole lot easier. Download the Fishing Booker app on the Google Play or App Store or visit them online at fishingbooker.com to book your trip today. Many of you know Axis deer is considered to be the best tasting venison on the planet. I've been hearing that for years. And that those deer cause some ecological harm. Well, Maui Nui Venison is bringing those Axis deer to the market. So you can get some fresh cuts and sticks shipped to your door. Visit MauiNuiVenison.com. That's M-A-U-I-N-U-I Venison.com. Use promo code MEATEATER for 20% off your order. Sport Dog is the most recognized brand in the hunting dog training industry. The Sport Dog promise to consumers is simple. Gear the way you'd design it. Every product Sport Dog builds is meticulously designed and rigorously tested in the field, ensuring it withstands the toughest conditions you and your dog may encounter.
I've used that Sport Dog collar in different temperatures. It just doesn't stop working.
Get 20% off your first purchase using code MEATEATER. So go to www.sportdog.com/MEATEATER to learn more.
It's a Meat Eater podcast.
Welcome to Meat Eater Trivia, the only game show where conservation always wins. I'm your host, Spencer Newharth, and today we're joined by Stephen Ranella, Chester Floyd, Corinne Schneider, Hayden Samick, Seth Morris, Randall Williams, and Ben Dedamonte. Ben, this is your second time on the show. How do you feel about your chances this time around?
Oh, they're way better.
Well, based on what? What do you think?
Well, maybe I'll get some of the same questions as last time, you know?
Oh, okay.
And then I'll remember which ones I missed.
Never happened before. I do like you, Ben, but not that much.
All right.
Now, this is a 10-round quiz show with questions from Meat Eater's four verticals, which are hunting, fishing, conservation, and cooking, and there is a prize. Meat Eater will donate $500 to the conservation organization of the winner's choosing. And each week here on Trivia, we reveal a new stat. For the stat of the week this week, we're looking at Ben's performance from the last time he was on the show. Ben competed in the First Light Ambassador episode and got 5 correct answers, which was good enough for 3rd place behind Clay Newcomb.
He told me 2nd.
And Tony Peterson.
No, he said 3rd.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. Second
or 3rd, that's what I said.
Now, Ben crushed it in 3 of 4 categories. He got 67% of questions right in hunting and conservation and 50% of questions right in fishing, but scored a 0 in the category of cooking. Ben, do you anticipate that being a hole in your game again today, or was that performance in episode 358 just a fluke?
I think I was a little hungry, and that might have thrown me off in the cooking area.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you fish,
Ben? A little bit.
Oh. Just enough.
Not as much as I should hunt.
Just enough to get 50% of your fishing questions right.
Yep. You know, on the we were talking, how are you, why no? Is when you throw them a bone, mm-hmm. is it like a shed hunting bone?
We'll see. Okay. We'll see. I think the room may know when it gets there.
Okay. That was a good one, Steve.
Yeah.
Did you come up with that?
Oh, that's clever. Well, no, I didn't do the joke.
I didn't even
I stole.
Get what you were going there for.
No. No, I meant.
He's just teeing us up for later.
Well, Seth had a good joke, like throwing him a bone. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Good bone, on you, Seth.
Collecting bone. Yeah.
Now, we have some housekeeping to get to. In a previous game of trivia, we had a tiebreaker between Giannis and Tony Peterson with a twist. They agreed that if someone who wasn't in overtime got the answer right on the nose, then they would be declared the winner. And that's exactly what happened when Tyler Jones snatched the victory from Giannis by answering that there are Eastern turkeys in 38 states. Well, within 15 minutes of that show ending, word had traveled to Steve about what went down, and then I got a phone call. Steve, tell folks what you told me about that tiebreaker.
Something to the effect of, that ain't gonna be how it goes down.
Mm-hmm. Do you want more? Do you want to share more of how the phone call went? I wrote down some notes here afterwards. So
I
have an accurate representation.
I remember being flabbergasted to hear that. And there's just no way I'm going to participate in something like that.
And how did word get to you so fast? You weren't even in the office when that went down.
I don't remember.
Brody.
Makes sense.
What was Brody's take on the situation? Did he get you riled up?
Oh, yeah.
He did.
Now that you see it, well, I know Brody didn't like it.
And Brody wasn't playing either.
Well, I know, but think about how stupid it is.
Mm-hmm.
You could have someone with a zero.
Uh-huh.
You have someone with a zero throw out some random-ass number.
That's right.
You know?
Still win. Now, I wrote down...
It's ridiculous.
I wrote down
If at the Super Bowl, they go get the worst possible team, they'd be like, oh, you can play too. I know you can't play three. That's a horrible analogy.
If you catch a pass that goes into the stands, you win.
Yeah. At the World Series, like, but you could have all your players in the outfield, and if one of your players catches a homer, you win the World Series.
That's right. It would be just like that. You're right. Now, I wrote down some of my favorite Steve-isms from that conversation. You called me a communist. You said that I must be hanging out with elementary kids too much. And then you declared that if I ever do that again, I'll need to ask Clay if trivia can air on the Bear Grease feed because its days on the Meat Eater Network would be over.
That sounds about right.
Okay. So here's the deal. We're not going to do that again, Steve. We are not going to have the tiebreaker that way. But what do you think some other iteration of, like, if somebody does hit it on the nose, we add an extra $100 donation, or they get to choose where the $500 donation goes, or just scrap the idea altogether, you hate it that much?
Yeah, I could see, like, $100 or something. Okay.
That's what we'll do then. If somebody in the tiebreaker, who wasn't in the tiebreaker, hits it right on the nose, we then have a $600 donation.
Yeah, because it's not like a full perfect score.
That's right.
Which is $1,000. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's good.
Now, the Shelby Index for this round of trivia is a 2, but I think our winner will be in the 6-7 range. And with that, we're on to the game of trivia. Play the drop, Phil.
Look, I need to know what I stand to win.
Everything.
How's that?
You stand to win everything.
Suckers.
Question 1. The topic is fishing, and as always, this will be multiple choice. Rotten Tomatoes declared a sequel to this movie as the 10th worst movie of all time. Is it A River Runs Through It, Free Willy, Grumpy Old Men, or Jaws?
Hold on, say it again.
The topic is fishing. Rotten Tomatoes declared a sequel to this movie as the 10th worst movie of all time. A River Runs Through It, Free Willy, Grumpy Old Men, or Jaws. A sequel to one of those movies is the 10th worst movie of all time via Rotten Tomatoes. Steve with a confident answer.
No.
Okay, quick answer.
I got a narrowed, well.
Okay, again, the choice is A River Runs Through It, Free Willy, Grumpy Old Men, Jaws. Steve, how many of those movies have you seen?
Do you mean the sequels?
The regular movie. Oh, River Runs Through It, Free Willy.
No.
Grumpy Old Men.
Yes.
Jaws.
Yes.
Okay. See, a little bit educated in this field. Chester, Lotta, Hemming, and Hahn. Does everybody else have an answer?
Free Willy, he kills a killer whale, don't he?
I don't remember how that goes.
No.
Is everybody ready?
They do the opposite.
Go ahead. Your answer. Steve says Jaws. Ben says Grumpy Old Men. Corinne says Free Willy. Hayden says Jaws. Randall says Free Willy. Seth says Free Willy. Chester says A River Runs Through It. The correct answer is Jaws.
Oh, off to a good start. Mm.
Steve, off to a good start, he declares. Jaws the Revenge was released in 1987 as the third sequel to the 1975 classic. It has a 0% critic score and 15% audience score on Rotten Tomatoes. One review said, quote, "It's illogical, tension-free, and filled with cut-rate special effects. Jaws the Revenge is a sorry chapter in a once-proud franchise." Other movies on the top 10 list include Super Babies 2, Nicolas Cage's movie Left Behind, and 2002's version of Pinocchio.
Steve, I just want to say how much I love Grumpy Old Men movies. Mm-hmm.
Mm, both of them.
Yeah. No way they'd be on the top 10, right, Chester?
That was the only one I could think of that actually, like, I knew about a sequel. So I just deducing.
Does the other, three of them have sequels?
Spielberg must not have made the Jaws. Did it farm out? Didn't.
I don't know how that went.
Stanley Kubrick.
The critics did not like it. A River Runs Through It did not have a sequel, but it was long rumored that there would be one, and it was called A River Runs to It. If they were going to do a sequel, that's what it was going to be.
That's not confusing.
No. I'm real happy they didn't make that
that's
sequel.
That's what they said.
You can't.
According to the internet, that is. Never Shadow happened.
Cast. They should call it A River Runs Into a Reservoir.
It's got big old walleyes.
Question two. The topic is public lands. This next great question comes to us via Luke Wojnicki. If you have a question you think is right for Meat Eater Trivia, you can send it to trivia@themeateater.com. The Kisatchee National Forest, which is the only national forest in this southern state, was commemorated in 2015 with a quarter that featured a wild turkey. The Kisatchee National Forest, which is the only national forest in this southern state, was commemorated in 2015 with a quarter that featured a wild turkey. Again, not enough southern representation in this room. Chester, I think, is the only one to come up with an answer so far, and Steve, but they don't look confident.
That's a doozy.
The Kisatchee National Forest, which is the only national forest in this southern state, was commemorated in 2015 with a quarter that featured a wild turkey. Quiet room, thinking real hard. Chester, how do you feel about your chances on this one? As one of the only people to come up with an answer so far.
Not very good.
Steve, same boat?
Not great.
Okay.
Not good.
Leaves the door open for the rest of the room now. Kisatchee National Forest, only national forest in this southern state.
All right, let's go.
Most of the room has not come up with an answer yet. Steve is getting impatient. How we doing over there, Randall, Hayden, Corinne, you got your answers?
Yep. I got a wild guess.
Seth?
Ben's just did some shed hunting in southern states, so yeah, okay. Maybe he knows.
Hayden, are you ready?
Yeah.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying South Carolina, Ben saying Florida, Corinne saying Kansas, Hayden saying North Carolina, Randall saying Louisiana, Seth saying Mississippi, Chester saying South Carolina. We have a correct answer in the room. It's Louisiana.
Oh, Randall?
Randall got it right.
What'd you put for the first one?
Free Willy.
Not Jaws.
I thought it was a trick question because the main character is a mammal.
Because he doesn't do trick questions.
There's never trick
fishing,
questions.
Fishing is the category in his movie about a whale, so I just thought maybe there was a, I don't know.
The Kisatchee National Forest is incredibly biodiverse with over 250 species of mammals, birds, reptiles, and amphibians. Their quarter, which was released in 2015, shows a tom turkey in flight. It is one of only five national forests that the United States Mint has featured in their Beautiful Quarters program. Question three, the topic is hunting. The world record non-typical elk, which was killed in Utah in 2008, was known by this nickname.
Would this be the bone?
I'm not. I'll repeat the question again, Seth. The world record non-typical elk, which was killed in Utah in 2008, was known by this nickname. Steve, with a very quick answer.
This is the bone, huh?
Are you going to get this one right, Ben?
I think so.
Okay. This is the bone.
Well, I mean, it's like, come on. That's where he's from.
Uh-huh.
It's big news.
He likes
the antlers.
He likes antlers. This is the bone. I'll tell you this is the bone.
This is the shed.
So don't let me down here, right now. Ben. Steve, you know this one, though. Uh-huh. Rest of the room looks okay. I think we'll have more right answers. Does everybody have the answer?
You know what, Randall?
I think so.
For the bull's nickname. Corinne, are you going to get this one?
Just a wild guess.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying Spider Bowl, Ben saying Spider Bowl, Corinne saying Double Wide, Hayden and Randall saying Spider Bowl, Seth saying The King, Chester saying Spider Bowl. They got it. The correct answer is Spider Bowl.
And we have a correct answer.
The Spider Bowl scored over 478 inches, which was 13 inches bigger than the previous record. He was killed on public land in Utah by a hunter who held the governor's tag and was guided by Mossback Outfitters. The elk was famous before it was even killed, as videos went viral that summer of the bull in velvet. The nickname was inspired by the antlers being splayed out like a spider's legs. Ben, how big of a deal was that in your world?
It was a very big deal. Controversial.
Yeah,
because of the governor's tag, or
because the governor's tag, they could hunt it before the season.
Right, there was that, and then
any weapon, right?
Yeah, nobody ever has any sheds off of that bull, and it was unknown until that year. So there was a lot.
Why does that make it controversial, though?
If it was a farm bull, that was a lot of people said it was a farm bull.
Turned out,
yeah. So there was, but there was one set that showed up that possibly could have been him. So kind of quelled the controversy a little bit, but. People still, I mean, if you go talk to your average Joe in Utah, half the people will say it was a farm bull, probably.
Really?
But, yeah.
And did you personally know about that elk before it was killed?
Nope. No, I'd heard rumors about it. Some buddies of mine filmed it in velvet.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, I'd heard about it. But I don't think anybody knew it was quite that big before they killed it.
Yeah, and I think the hunter was from Idaho, maybe.
Danny Osted.
As it goes with most of those Idaho tangs, right, he had a fleet of guides that were looking for that bull. And I think, he kind of rolled in and finished it.
Yeah.
That was like a super shot.
I don't know, but people are going to, when something like that happens, people are going to really like any chink in the armor.
For sure. Oh, yeah. They will swarm towards
they're
gonna
that. They're going to really like anything that would be that it wasn't what it seems to be.
Sure.
That was the Spider Bowl. Question four, the topic is conservation. This next great question comes to us via Houston Wilson. If you have a question you think is right for Meat Eater Trivia, you can send it to trivia@themeateater.com. Name one of the five states with the most deer farms in America. Name one of the five states with the most deer farms in America. Quick answers from most of the room. Everybody ready? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying Pennsylvania, Ben saying Texas, Corinne, Hayden, Randall all saying Texas, Seth saying Pennsylvania, Chester saying Texas. The five states are Texas, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Michigan, Minnesota. Everybody got it right. I was surprised that Seth and Steve went a little against the grain there with Pennsylvania. That was kind of cocky, but it worked out.
Well, it's kind of the birthplace of deer farming.
Yeah. I mean, Penn State has a deer farm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the birthplace
where they do research.
Farm.
According to Penn State University, those five states have over 60% of America's deer farms. Deer farming is legal in about 40 states. The National Deer Association opposes captive deer propagation, saying the practice can introduce novel diseases and promote the privatization of wildlife. Question five, the topic is cooking. We will get a scoreboard update from Phil after this. Merriam-Webster defines this Russian dish as, quote, meat that's sliced thin and cooked in a sauce of sour cream, mustard, onion, and condiments. Again, the topic is cooking. Merriam-Webster defines this Russian dish as, quote, meat that's sliced thin and cooked in a sauce of sour cream, mustard, onion, and condiments. Quick answer from Steve.
Is it mustard
and Hayden.
A condiment?
I'm just telling you what Merriam-Webster says, but you're probably right about that. Hayden, you going to get this one right?
Yeah.
Randall?
Yeah, I think.
I don't think so.
Okay. Again, this is question five. Merriam-Webster defines this Russian dish as, quote, meat that's sliced thin and cooked in a sauce of sour cream, mustard, onion, and condiments. Ben, we just discussed how cooking was a hole in your game last time. Are you going to get this one right?
No.
Okay.
Nope.
I might not get this one right, actually.
Just had to pick up your phone to
check. No, I got a text from somebody. I did not.
You should have seen how much he was on his phone last
year. Yeah,
was he?
Always has it.
iPad kid over there.
No, No, I was dealing with a certain podcasting issue that we had to rectify immediately.
Does everybody have an answer for the Russian dish that's meat sliced thin and cooked in a sauce of sour cream, mustard, onion, and condiments?
Doesn't sound that great.
No. Is everybody ready?
Yeah.
Go ahead and reveal.
I put down their tomato
answers.
Soup. Oh, son of a bitch!
Steve,
you guys all got it.
Borscht. Ben says Reuben. Corinne says Stroganoff.
Oh my gosh.
Hayden says Stroganoff. Hayden with Randall without an answer. That. Seth saying Stroganoff. Chester without an answer. The correct answer is Stroganoff.
Well, mustard. Folks.
Should have thrown in the whole noodle thing.
Talk to Merriam
Webster.
That's
what gave me pause, man. That's why I said I didn't think.
I almost didn't put Stroganoff down because
that is
the noodle thing.
I like Stroganoff.
This meal is named after Count Stroganoff, a Russian aristocrat who had the meal created by his French chef. The original recipe used a French mustard and Russian sour cream to season the meat. If you want a more modern version, then check out Lucas Leaf's recipe on themeateater.com called Braised Bison Stroganoff. Steve, are you kicking yourself for not getting that one right?
Yeah, I mean, come on.
How many times a year do you make stroganoff, you think?
None.
Never?
No.
Okay. You don't like it? Kids don't like it?
It's just not on my repertoire, man.
Okay. I'm sure you make some things that are close, though, like in that...
Yeah, but...
Freeze-dried.
I don't make a whole bunch of white sauce stuff, man. Mm. But, it's ridiculous that I didn't get that right.
I'm disappointed I missed it, but I'm equally as delighted about the Count Stroganoff.
Count Stroganoff.
What a guy.
Phil, we are halfway through the game of trivia. Give us a scoreboard update.
Sure thing. It's a pretty good game. Everyone's doing all right. We got Seth, Corinne, Chester, and Ben, all with 2 points apiece. Steve and Randall have 3, and in first place is Hayden Samick with 4 points.
That's not going to hold.
What did I do to you, man?
Nothing. I'm just saying that's not going to hold.
Phil, we need a little more energy. Is it because Hayden's in first place? Is that why you delivered that so somber?
Oh, no. I don't know. Sometimes I when I'm editing the podcast, I'm like, I got to tone it down.
Oh, you brought too much energy other times? No.
Okay. I'll bring it back up. Just
thank you.
He's right-sizing the energy.
Okay.
No one roots for Hayden.
Hey man, after years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if you've learned anything, it's that there is always a catch. So, when I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, I thought, well, what's the catch? But it turns out there isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet savings directly to you. Ditch overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/meateater. That's mintmobile.com/meateater. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/meateater.
$45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Looking for the perfect gift to celebrate the moms in your life? Aura frames are beautiful Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos. These things are super cool as a gift, especially if you got mom, aunt, grandma, whoever, and you want to like keep them up to speed on what the family's up to, okay? It's easy to upload and share photos via the Aura app. And if you're giving an Aura as a gift, you can even personalize the frame with pre-loaded photos and memories. Named the best digital picture frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things, Aura frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages. You can share photos to the frame instantly from anywhere, meaning you share videos, photos from any device, and they will instantly appear on the frame, wherever it is in the world. There's no memory card required. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame.
That's AuraFrames.com. Use code MeatEater at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. Get incredible deals on premium cuts from ButcherBox. Deals this good are hard to come by, even at the grocery store. It's the ultimate convenience. It's delivered right to your doorstep, meaning less trips to the grocery store because you're prepared. You got a freezer loaded with a bunch of recipe-ready cuts of meat. It makes making dinner at night so much easier. The stuff is well-packaged, easy to thaw. It just encourages good home cooking. You'll have a hard time finding this kind of savings at the grocery store, and you'll get exclusive member deals, recipe inspiration, guides, tips, and hacks, and free shipping. Today, ButcherBox is giving our listeners free ground beef for life of your membership, plus an additional $20 off your first order. Use my link, butcherbox.com/meateater, and then use code MeatEater to get free ground beef for life, plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com/meateater. Make sure to use code MeatEater.
Question six, the topic is woodsmanship. The use of this insecticide that starts with a P makes it 74 times less likely that you'll be bit by a tick.
Come on.
The use of this insecticide that starts with a P makes it 74 times less likely that you'll be bit by a tick. Steve thinks it's too easy, but it looks like
the
a few
nature
folks,
of this question makes it 99% more likely that you'll get it right.
A few folks look like they're going to struggle.
I like these lobs.
Are you going to get this one, Ben?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Corinne may not. The rest of the room looks pretty confident. Randall, are you going to get this one?
I think so.
The use of this insecticide that starts with a P makes it 74 times less likely that you'll be bit by a tick. Corinne, no pressure, but I think we're waiting on you. You give up?
Yeah.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying permethrin. Ben saying permethrin. Oh. Corinne without an answer. Hayden and Randall, everyone else saying permethrin. They got it. The correct answer is permethrin. I should have made you guys spell it. There were some creative spellings there.
Permethrin?
Something like
that's
that.
He gave us the permethrin.
Permethrin.
Permethrin. Yeah. Okay. I'm saying it wrong then.
Yeah. Permethrin.
Permethrin can
be used
to...
You put the emphasis on the wrong syllable.
It can be used to treat clothes and gear. Most applications are odorless and last for 6 weeks, making a great choice for foragers and hunters. According to a 2001 study, the best place to apply it is from your feet to your shins. This was tested against other areas like your waist, chest, and head.
I'm going to put it on the top of my head.
Question seven. The topic is conservation.
Maybe that'll help my
hair growth. This is our listener question of the week, which was won by Will Farr for sending this great question. Will is going to get a book signed by Steve. There are only 600 of these left in the wild, which are considered to be the tallest bird in North America at 5 feet tall. There are only 600 of these left in the wild, which are considered to be the tallest bird in North America at 5 feet tall. The room looks stumped. Maybe Randall has it. Steve
give me a minute.
Looks like he's thinking on it. Only 600 of them left in the wild, and they're considered the tallest bird in North America. Ben, are you going to get this one right?
No.
Ben, what's the next stop on your shed hunting tour?
I'm knocking out Montana.
Okay.
On this trip, and then probably just start... I may go to Maine. I might fly out and look for some moose paddles after that.
Really? In Maine?
Yep.
Have you been there before?
Nope. Stoked.
Is it guaranteed you come home with one or not?
No, but I think there's pretty good odds with the numbers out there.
Again, only 600 of these left in the wild, which are considered the tallest bird in North America at 5 feet tall. Does everybody who's going to come up with an answer have an answer?
I just need another second.
Okay. Another second. Randall, are you going to get this one?
I think I have a decent guess.
Hayden?
No, I'm listening to like the most basic thing I could think of, but I know it's wrong because I can think of a bunch of other things that are probably taller.
Seth, how about you?
Not a chance. I don't think.
Steve, how we doing over here?
Yeah, it's not good, dude.
Is everybody ready?
I'm like gonna be level with you.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying mute swan, Ben saying great blue heron, Corinne saying a kind of stork, Hayden saying condor, Randall saying whooping crane.
That's what I meant to
say. Seth saying California condor, Chester saying flamingo. The correct answer is whooping crane.
That's what I meant.
Randall
to say.
Got it yeah. right.
Whoop, whoop. I accidentally wrote mute swan.
Whooping cranes also have a wingspan of 7.5 feet. Their populations plummeted due to habitat loss and unregulated hunting, and by 1940, there were only 21 left on Earth. Biologists believe that every whooping crane around today descended from a small flock that breeds in Texas.
You know how I was saying, hold on a minute? I was trying to think of that.
You're trying to come up with a whooping crane.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever seen one?
Yes.
Where? Mm.
Yes. In the Texas Gulf Coast.
Mm.
Yeah, didn't we see him?
Yes.
Yeah.
A bunch Son of a gun.
So,
that's wild.
If you think about it.
Definitely seen one.
Like, that should count.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you're probably one of the few people to have seen one in this room. One of the 600 left. Question 8. We'll get a scoreboard update from Phil after this. The topic is mountain men. This mountain man, whose parents were a slave owner and slave, went by the nickname Bloody Arm. Steve, with a confident answer, no one else. Again, this mountain man, whose parents were a slave owner and slave, went by the nickname Bloody Arm. Steve, you got this one right.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like this mountain man? You just don't want to give any hints?
We can talk about it later.
Okay.
You got it, Randall?
Steve may be the only one who gets this.
I am struggling.
This mountain man, whose parents were a slave owner and slave, went by the nickname Bloody Arm. I think Brody would get this if he were here.
He would, yeah.
The rest of the room is struggling, though. Seth, you had an answer. You think you have a chance at this one?
I just threw one at the wall.
Okay. Hayden has his eyes crossed over there. He's thinking so hard.
Dude,
are you going to come up with an answer, Hayden?
No. No, I'm not.
Is everybody ready? Randall.
I'm defeated.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying Jim Beckwith, Ben saying Liver Eaton Johnson, Corinne saying Coulter, Hayden saying Leroy Jenkins. Randall without an answer. Seth saying Fitzgerald. Chester saying Hugh Glass. Steve got it. The correct answer is James Beckwith. Beckwith's dad was from a prominent white Virginia family, and his mom was one of that family's slaves. Beckwith's parents moved to Missouri when he was a young child, where he was raised as the free son of a successful farmer. Beckwith gained the nickname Bloody Arm through his notable skill as a fighter. Steve, what do you got on James Beckwith?
He married into the Absorca, or the Crow tribe, and lived with them for quite some time.
Was he the one who was rumored to have been killed by them? They think he was maybe poisoned?
I don't know.
I thought it was him. I was never certain.
That's such a shed thrown to Steve, too.
Yeah. Every time there's a mountain man question, I'm like, oh, this is Steve's bone for the week.
Brody would have got it if Brody was here, though, right?
They're in contention.
Phil, we have two questions left. Give us a scoreboard update. I think it got interesting.
It did get interesting.
If you can't stand the heat, get out of the Meat Eater Podcast studio. Corinne, you've been eliminated.
Oh, he's perked right back
get
up.
Get the hell out of here.
We're at 150%
energy now. A little bit of criticism and he perked up.
Yeah. Still in the game are Seth, Chester, and Ben with 3 points apiece. And tied for first place are Hayden, Randall, and Steven Ranella.
With how many?
5 points.
5 points. 2 questions left. Question 9. The topic is fishing. This river, which is named after a major American city, was declared the world's best walleye fishery by In Fisherman in 2015. This river, which is named after a major American city, was declared the world's best walleye fishery by In Fisherman in 2015.
What do you got, Hayden? You got it?
No, man. No.
Steve, Randall? Are you going to get this one?
Oh, yeah, I got it.
This river.
It hit me like a diamond bullet. Okay. Like, at first.
Explain.
At first, I didn't have it, and then it, like, struck me in the forehead.
And now you got it right.
Like a diamond bullet.
This river, which is named after a major American city, was declared the world's best walleye fishery by In Fishermen in 2015.
I should clarify that. I stole the diamond bullet line. In Apocalypse Now, Marlon Brando's character, Kurtz, how to win the Vietnam War, struck him like a diamond bullet.
Still don't really understand the diamond part of it. It would just hit that hard? Is that what it's implying? Mm. Okay.
How to win the war.
Mm. Seth, are you going to get this one?
Don't know.
Are you going to be sad when Chester gets this walleye fishing question right and you don't?
I might not have it right.
Okay. Maybe I have it right and he gets it wrong.
Oh, I like that too. Does everybody have an answer?
Maybe. Maybe we both have the same answer.
Go ahead and reveal your answer. We have Steve saying Detroit, Ben saying Detroit, Corinne without an answer, Hayden saying St. Louis, Randall saying Detroit, Seth saying Detroit, Chester saying Detroit. They got it. The correct answer is Detroit.
Detroit!
The Detroit River is famous for its walleye run that happens each spring when spawners leave Lake Erie. Cabela's holds an annual tournament there where it's not uncommon for five fish limits to exceed 50 pounds. The tournament director called it a jigging paradise for walleye anglers.
I love it.
It's actually unique to a style of fishing called hand lining.
Explain it.
It's like, I've never done it before. I've never even seen anyone do it before. But it's basically, you have like this spring-loaded reel, and let me know, Chester, if I'm messing this up. And like basically when you let go, like you can pull the line out and let line in like real easily because it's spring-loaded, and that goes out, and there's leaders attached to it that you can hook whatever, Rapalas, whatever you want to troll.
And this is just like, it's like a vertical jigging technique or it's a trolling technique?
No, you actually put a big weight on the bottom. So it goes down, hits the bottom, and then you have leaders off of that.
Drift or slow troll.
Yeah, and you can, since the spool is spring loaded, you can like pull back and forth and like get different speeds and speed up your bait, slow them down, that kind of stuff.
Detroit River. Phil, we have one question left.
Detroit.
Where do we stand?
Seth, Chester, and Ben have also been eliminated and can no longer win. However, Hayden is still in the game with 5 points. Steve and Randall are tied up with 6.
Question 10. The topic is cooking. This next great question comes to us via David Valdez. If you have a question you think is right for Meat Eater Trivia, you can send it to trivia@themeateater.com. Although many think the red liquid that's released from a steak is blood, it's actually this protein. Although many think that the red liquid that's released from a steak is blood, it's actually this protein. Steve, you look confident. Are you going to get this one right?
Mm-hmm.
On the contrary, hey, Randall, have you come up with an answer yet?
I have an answer.
Okay, do you think you're going to get this one right?
Steak juice.
I think I have a good shot.
We may be headed to a tiebreaker. Hayden, in case they're wrong, do you have the right answer?
It's not looking good for me, man.
Steve, the reflection on the
glass there. Do you use that a lot?
Wow.
No, I've never noticed it, but you're holding your board above your head.
Could you see his answer, Randall?
Yes.
Do you have the same answer?
I do.
Okay. Now we go. Is everybody
ready?
As
long as I can read backwards.
Is everybody ready? Go ahead and reveal your answers.
We have
Steve saying, what does that say?
Albumin.
Albumin. Ben saying, what does that say?
Myoglobin.
Myoglobin. Corinne saying plasma.
Oh, I'm thinking of the
Hayden
fat that comes out of
hemoglobin.
Fish.
Randall saying myoglobin.
Why'd you think that I wrote that?
Seth without an answer. Chester saying au jus.
It was small and I was reading it backwards in the reflection.
You know what's the worst thing you want to hear when you have an answer? And Spencer looks at the answer and says, what's that? That's not good news.
That was a spoiler because Randall got it right. The correct answer is myoglobin, and that makes Randall our winner.
Son of a bitch.
With 7 correct answers. Steve, the diamond bullet never came on myoglobin, huh?
You know what the albumin is? You know if you smoke salmon too hot?
Okay.
And the fat.
Oh yeah, that's
the white. That's
the white
what I meant.
Stuff.
So I mean, That could have been a great answer for another question.
Mm-hmm. That half point.
Like,
with
what's
your...
that white shit that comes out of salmon fillets when you smoke it too hot? I would have been like, albumin.
The whooping crane half point and this half point. Technically, you guys are tied then.
Like, Count Stroganoff. Sure.
I knew I didn't have it right.
Quarter point. I think Steve won, actually.
Yeah.
Now, myoglobin helps store oxygen in your muscles. It's actually one of the key differences that separates white meat from red meat. Simply put, the more myoglobin cells there are, the redder the meat is. So animals like birds with a low level of myoglobin have white meat, and animals like mammals with a high level of myoglobin have red meat.
Spencer, I've got a trivia question for you.
Okay.
What's the protein in fish, white flaky fish, that people are allergic to? What's the protein called?
Do not know.
Parvalbumin.
Ooh, Parvalbumin.
Wow. And I'm allergic to it.
Do you know Tony Peterson's allergic to fish too?
No. Yeah, guy likes to fish.
Two
as well.
Of you fishy guys.
I just we learned this on the last trivia. Mm-hmm.
Yep. You guys could go out and throw fish at each other.
Talk about our problems.
Yeah. Randall, yeah, as the winner, you get to choose where the $500 donation goes. So what's it going to be?
Let's give it to the TRCP.
Mm, what do you like about them, Randall?
Well, we're in...
It's familiar.
We were in Washington, D.C. a couple weeks ago for the annual Conservation Awards dinner. Capital Conservation Awards dinner. And it was just a wonderful reminder of all the good work that's being done across party lines in D.C. to get things done for hunters and anglers. So,
who were some award winners there?
Well, each year they give an award to two lawmakers, one from each side of the aisle. So this year it went to Joe Manchin and then of West Virginia and Blake Moore of Utah.
Like an arm wrestling award, or what's the award for?
It's for just being a powerful advocate for hunters and anglers and the resources that we use in D.C. And so those two gentlemen have gotten a lot done, putting together some big conservation bills and packages over the years. And it was just a great evening. Got to run into a lot of old colleagues and then folks from all sorts of different conservation groups that are getting together.
Yeah, they do one person from each side of the aisle, then they do one from each chamber. So one senator, one congressman.
Good on you, Randall.
And then they do someone from the private sector, but this year it's two people from the private sector. Mm. Lifelong conservationists and wildlife professionals, Becky Humphreys, who retired from National Wild Turkey Federation, and Howard Vincent, who retired from Pheasants Forever, Quail Forever.
Well done, Randall. Tough batch of questions. You win it with 7 right. Ben, how many did you get right this round?
5 again.
5. You are consistent.
Yep.
We're just going to bring you on from now on knowing you're going to get 5 right.
If 5's ever the winning score, then I'm your guy.
All right. Well done, Ben. Thank you for joining us. Come back next time for more Meat Eater Trivia, the only game show where conservation always wins.
Hey, if you follow wildlife news at all, you're probably aware that the island of Maui has an incredible abundance of axis deer, so much so that they're causing ecological damage. Well, Maui Nui venison is thinning out some of those axis deer herds and delivering venison sticks and fresh cuts to your door. Visit MauiNuiVenison.com. That's MauiNuiVenison.com. Use promo code MeatEater for 20% off your order. You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without your essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. Man, I was just in Hawaii and I had my Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie with me. And here's the deal. We're in and out of the water all the time, getting in to go spearfishing, getting out, taking the kids to the beach. I'm not going to mess around all day putting sunscreen on, then having to get washed off. I just run a hoodie. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.